Almost every one of us in here, as a parent, has experienced a child who has departed from the faith. That child, at a very young age, obeyed the gospel. That child was taught to worship God. That child was a participant in youth activities. That child was a servant of God. That child seemed to be enthusiastic for the cause of Christ. And for whatever reason, as that child got older, maybe even left home, that child has become unfaithful. No longer are they serving God the way they used to. There's no longer the fervor. There's no longer the desire for God. Many of them may have even gone off into man-made religion. As parents contemplate their children, there are a lot of emotions through which they go as they think about those children. There is a sense of embarrassment, isn't there? It's never fun to have to admit to another individual that my child is not faithful to the Almighty God. We would like to be able to say that all of our kids are faithful. And the minute we have to make that acknowledgement, there's a sense of embarrassment there. But more so than that, there's also the experience of heartbreak, isn't there? If there is one thing that a parent desires above all other things, it's for their children to be faithful members of the body of Christ. The one thing we desire is the salvation of the souls of our children. The one thing we long for is to die, go to heaven, and one day be able to see our children there again. And the moment they become unfaithful, we know that we may never see them again after we depart from this life. And folks, that brings heartache, doesn't it? Also, there is a measure of guilt that is felt by parents as well. The guilt comes from, maybe I could have done more. Maybe there was something else I needed to do. Maybe I could have been a little bit better in this area or that area. And there's a measure of guilt that is experienced by those parents as well. You see, they question their ability as a parent. If I had just done this, if I had just done that, if I had stepped up to the plate a little bit more, if I maybe had been just a little bit more forceful, you see, they question whether they really did a good job as a parent. And lastly, they wonder if their child still has hope. Is my child ever going to come back to the fold? Is my child going to repent of his sins, repent of his transgressions, and come back to the Almighty God and be faithful again? The answer to that last question is found in a parable that our Lord taught, and it's entitled The Prodigal Son, Luke 15:11-32. I have divided that parable into four different parts. And tonight we're only going to be looking at part number one of the parable. Next week we're going to look at parts two and three, and then we'll look at part number four in a third lesson. This parable begins with rebellion, doesn't it? Luke 15:11-16. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them came to his father and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he delivered unto them his goods. After a while, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there was a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain eaten or filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. There is the rebellion. There's 3 points that Luke makes in this particular parable of Jesus Christ. First, there is the desire. Notice what the young man said. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them came to the father and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. This parable begins with a reality. A certain man had 2 sons. You see, folks, parables are based upon true events. I bet you in the land of Jerusalem, in the surrounding areas of Judea, there may have been many men who had 2 sons. In fact, this particular story could have been told of my grandfather. For you see, my grandfather had 2 sons, my dad and my uncle. So it's a true story. And it is an earthly story. Folks, meaning that it is something that could happen anywhere at any time on earth, couldn't it? And Jesus would take these simple little stories and he would lay alongside of them heavenly meanings, spiritual meanings, thus the definition of a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So these stories, even though they may not have occurred, they could have occurred. And they were real and based upon fact. But notice secondly, the request. Notice what the younger son says. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The younger son makes a bold request, does he not? There's only 2 sons, so we know exactly how much either one of these sons were going to get. The older son would have gotten 2/3, and the younger son would have gotten 1/3 of his father's inheritance. Can you imagine that? Going up to your father while he is still alive and saying, hey, Dad, I want my inheritance and I want my inheritance right now. That's a pretty bold request. I'm not going to wait till you die. I want it right now. What we see is the foolishness of youth, don't we? Folks, when we think about youth, there are many factors involved in youth that are not good. I've listed just a few of them. Youth oftentimes are ignorant. Now that doesn't mean that they have not been trained in book knowledge. They've graduated from high school. Many of them have gone to college. Maybe they even have master's degree or PhDs. And guess what? They think they are the smartest people on the earth. And many of them are pretty ignorant still, aren't they? You see, that knowledge, that book knowledge has not been coupled with the experience of many, many years. And we as adults know that they are still ignorant. They're selfish, aren't they? Listen again to what that young man says. Give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I want what is mine, he says. You see, he's all concerned about what? He's all concerned about self. That's what youth is all about. That's what they think about. Aren't they impulsive? There's no thought to the future. It's all about now. It's all about the immediate. I want my goods right now, Dad. You see, they're short-sighted, aren't they? They just don't have the ability to see way off into the future. And many of our young people are extremely undisciplined. They just don't have the ability of self-control yet. They're not able to harness their emotions and all of their actions and their behaviors. They're just undisciplined individuals. So here is this young man asking his dad for 1/3 of the inheritance. So we see the request. But notice we also see the response, don't we? Notice what the text says. And he divided unto them his living. Are you shocked? I am. Folks, here's a dad that does the unexpected, doesn't he? Let me tell you something. My son called me up tonight. hey, Dad, why don't you just go ahead and give me your inheritance? Huh? Are you kidding me? You're calling me before I'm dead? You're not getting anything till I die, and I plan on living 100 more years. Folks, I'm not giving a kid anything. Not yet. I'll give him a copy of the will so maybe he can hope he's going to get something one of these days. And it's going to be rewritten before he gets it now. But the dad does exactly the unexpected, doesn't he? He divides unto them his goods. Folks, there's a lesson here. You see, sometimes parents have to let their children suffer what are referred to as natural consequences. You see, we have to allow those natural consequences to work in the lives of our children. Oh, yes, we can discipline. Yes, we can say no. Yes, we can withhold our inheritance. Or, guess what? We can give them everything they want, allow them to do exactly what they desire to do, and natural consequences will befall them. They can't blame us. They can't blame God. The only person they have to blame are the elements, the events of life, and guess who? Their own selves. Dad is about to let this young man experience exactly what he wants to experience, isn't he? So there we find the desire. I want my inheritance, and unbelievably, he gets it, doesn't it? That leads to the second point of the parable tonight, the departure. The Bible says this, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Folks, it's not easy, is it, to see our children walk away from home? Do you remember that time when that child gets into the car, shuts the door, and all you see are the taillights driving away? There is no control anymore. I don't have the ability to protect my child the way I used to. Now that child has been delivered into the world, and the world is going to do to the child what the world often does. And notice the text says that he took his journey into what? A far country. Let's talk about the far country for just a minute. Folks, notice this. It is far from home. Now that little word far is relative. You know that? It could be just on the other side of town. But as far as you and I are concerned, it is a far, far, far place away from home, isn't it? You see, it's a foreign land. And it can be a lot of things. It can be a child moving out of the house into his own apartment. It can be a child moving off to a brand new city, maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands of miles away. It might be when a child gets married and all of a sudden we see that car driving off and we're just waving at the little newlyweds, and yet deep in our mind we know they're leaving our home, aren't they? And even though they're together, and even though we're happy for them, there's still a deep concern for what they're about to face. It may be a child who goes off to school, off to a university, and that could be hundreds of miles away as well. The far country is a foreign land. When we refer to a foreign land, we're referring to a place that is a new people, involving new customs, new ideologies, new thought processes that our child may have never seen before, and even new temptations that they have to face, the far country. Folks, the lesson here is very simple. Sometimes youth do not base their perceptions of the far country upon fact. You see, the far country allures them, doesn't it? I can't wait to what? Get out of this house. I can't wait to go off to school. I can't wait to get married. I can't wait to get a job and get my own house or get my own apartment. I just can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. The far country allures young people on a daily basis, doesn't it? The problem is they've never been to where? They've never been to the foreign country. They never experienced the foreign country. We, as the parents, we have, haven't we? We made that same journey years ago when we left our mom and dad. And we know the dangers, the pitfalls, the difficulties, the struggles, the temptations of the far country. Youth, however, just doesn't get it. Give me the far country. That leads to the third point. And folks, that's the degradation. It's the longest part of the lesson tonight. And there are five things that this young man is going to experience when he gets into the far country. The first thing is riotous living. The Bible says this, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. I don't know how much money this young man received, do you? The Bible doesn't say. $10,000? $30,000? $50,000? $100,000? I don't know. But I do know this, the money was free, wasn't it? The money was a gift, and whatever it was to the young man, it probably seemed like just an immense sum of money. I've got all that I need right here. He goes into the far country, and what does he do? He just begins to waste his substance on riotous living. That little word riotous is interesting. It means this, dissolutely. It also means no savings at all. Here is a young man who is just spending and spending and spending and spending. Ever seen anybody like that? Maybe you've been that way yourself. And that's exactly what he did. I've got all this money over here that Dad gave me. Now I can finally just spend to my heart's content. One man wrote the following. He went the limit of sinful excesses. Folks, there was nothing this young man denied himself. Whatever he saw, he spent the money on. Cars, houses, boats, drinking, partying, women, whatever it was, whatever he desired. He just had the time of his life. He's having a ball. Oh, what a joy to live in the far country. The key word, though, is that little word, what? Wasted his substance on riotous living. You see, there's the deception, isn't it? I've got all this money, so I can just waste it. And that's what he was doing, just wasting it. That led to the second part of his degradation, the reward of want. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Now note that. And he began to be in want. There's a lesson that young people need to understand, and it's this. Resources are not limitless. You know, I've heard of individuals receiving $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. And guess what they thought? Wow, that's a boatload of money. And before you know it, guess what? They run through that money quicker than you can possibly imagine. Have you heard of individuals winning a lottery, maybe even $1 million, $2 million, in a matter of 6, 8, 10 months? Every bit of it is gone, folks. Resources are not limitless. There comes a time when what? When money runs out. There comes a time when there is no more. There comes a time when you desire something and guess what? You don't have the money to buy it. Sadly, this young man was not prepared for what? For the famine. You see, a mighty famine arose in the land. He needed money, didn't he? You see, now things are higher priced than they used to be. Now I just need the basics of life, don't I? I just need a little bit of food. I need something to drink. I need a roof over my head. And he had absolutely nothing. He began to be in what? In what, the Bible says. Folks, when you are in want, there is desperation, isn't there? When you are in want, you become very irrational in your decision making. When you are in want, you immediately begin to make some very rash decisions, hasty decisions, decisions that if you had stopped and thought a little bit longer, you would have never, ever made. All because he didn't prepare for a rainy day, did he? The reward of want. Thirdly, we read about the role of the stranger. The Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And notice what he did. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Wow. Notice the first point. Independence was gone. Why did he leave daddy's house? I want to be my own man. I want to stand on my own two feet. I want to take care of myself. I don't want to have to be answering to anybody, especially my daddy. And now, all independence is gone. And guess what? He is slave to another individual, a citizen of the far country. The very thing that he left at home, he is now bound upon himself in the foreign land, isn't he? And notice also, his job is that of what? Feeding swine. That's just a nice word for pigs, isn't it? Folks, did you know under Jewish law, those pigs were unclean animals? Leviticus 17, 11 and 12. Unclean animals. They were not even supposed to be touched by a Jew. And I don't know about you, but all the pigs that I've ever been around, they stink, don't they? In Paris, Tennessee, there's a little community called Henry, about 5 miles down the road. And in Henry, there is this huge pig farm. When I say huge, the man doesn't have one pig. He doesn't have 100 pigs. He has 10,000 pigs out there. Now, every now and then, the wind blows just right. Or is it, I don't know. But just the right way so that that odor covers the entirety of Henry County. And that lovely smell falls upon Paris, Tennessee. And folks, I mean, if it's there for an hour, it's there for a day. You go into a business, you come out and you go, oh. You go into your house, you come out of your house, oh. Unbelievable. It's just a stench, is it not? Not only is it a stench, but folks, that's hard work. Pigs like what? They like slop, don't they? Pigs love mud. You got to carry these heavy, heavy buckets out to feed those pigs. In and out, in and out. You ever got your boots stuck in mud? Folks, that's work. It's not easy to feed those hogs. So we got what? Unclean animals that stink and it's hard. Give me that job. But that's exactly where the young man is, isn't he? Notice the lesson. We heard this all of our life. Sin will take us farther than we ever, ever wanted to go, won't it? Isn't that something? Let me ask you something. I don't know how many months have passed, how many days have passed. Do you honestly think that when that young man left his house, left his dad behind, that he ever thought that he'd be feeding pigs? Doubt that. If his dad would have told him, now look, son, if you don't take care of your money, you're going to be feeding pigs. He'd have just laughed, Daddy. Oh, Dad, pigs are unclean animals. I'm never going to touch a pig. You see, sin takes us farther than we ever wanted to go. The role of the stranger. But notice also, in this degradation, there is a change of rations now. The Bible talks about the rations this man was now eating. And he would fain have filled his belly upon the husks that the swine did eat. When you and I think of husks, we think of corn husks, don't we? And yes, there are many individuals today who feed pigs corn, but we're not talking about corn in those days. When you look up the word in the Greek language, it refers to the pod of a carob tree. Folks, the pod of a carob tree was edible. The problem was this. It was only eaten by very poor individuals or by pigs. That's all. There is nutritional value to it. It is a very sweet, edible plant. But very few individuals would ever dream of going out, picking the pods of the carob tree and making a meal out of it. And now this young man is eating what the pigs are being fed. The point is this, the sun had fallen far, far, far down on the socioeconomic scale of society. Wouldn't you like to know where his father was socioeconomically? I bet his dad was pretty well off, don't you? You say, well, how do you know that, Vic? Because the man had what? Servants, did he not? If he had servants, he was fairly well off. Here was a young man who left his dad, left a high order of society, and now where is he? He's on the bottom plateau of society. He would have never dreamed that the day he left his house. Watch this. There is now also rejection by all. Notice what the text says. And no man gave unto him. Here's a good lesson. No money, no friends. That's the way it is with young people, right? Guys, if I get my dad's inheritance as a young man, 17, 18, 19 years old, I run out there, hey guys, I got $100,000. Let's just go party. I bet he could fill a van, don't you? And then all of a sudden, the money runs out. He had spent all. He was now in want. Folks, there's the lesson. Some people in life will disappoint us. They're what we refer to as fair weather friends. As long as things are good, as long as things are wonderful, as long as you're prosperous, guess what? They are there. But the minute life turns bad, there are no friends. And they turn their back on the one they're supposed to care about and deeply love. No man gave unto him. Folks, I want you to listen to these statements. There is no assistance. There is no one to pull him out of the hog pit. There is no one there to make his life better. There's nobody there caring for his happiness. There's not one person there seeking this young man's best interest. Guess where all of that was? All of that was back at home, wasn't it? Would Dad have assisted him? Would Dad have tried to get him out of the hog pit if he was still at home? Would Dad have tried to make his life better? Would Dad have done anything he possibly could do for the best interest of his son? Absolutely. All of that was where? All of that was back at home. But right now in the far country, every bit of it is gone. That young man made some extremely poor choices in life, didn't he? You know what I wish? What I wish is this. I wish that none of us knew the story. You know that? Because the next question is this. What's going to happen to this young man? You see, folks, this young man represents some of our kids, doesn't it? This young man represents some of those children we talked about at the first of the lesson. Those who have left home, those who have gotten caught up in the world, those who have involved themselves in all kinds of sin and all kinds of iniquity. They're no longer faithful to God. We're not talking about the prodigal son. We're talking about my son. And the question is what? What will happen to him? You see, is he going to continue his fellowship with the pigs? Because that's where he is right now. Or has something happened to him to radically alter his life? You see, I wish we didn't know the end of the story. Sadly, we do. The reason I say that is because it ruins my next lesson. But you see, the reality is that even when a child reaches this point in life, guess what? There is still hope. But a lot of things have to happen. And we're going to talk about those in our next lesson. All we can do now is go home and what? Pray for the prodigal, can't we? And I bet you there's been many of you who have done that on a regular basis for your prodigal son or daughter. Pray that they'll come back home. Maybe in the course of next week's lesson, you'll learn some things that you can pray about. You want to know one of the things you can pray for? Pray that your child experiences the hog pit. Okay? Pray that they have to struggle through difficulties and trials in life. Pray that something comes along in their life that forces them to think about, watch this, home. Isn't that right? Come back next week and we'll finish up the second and third parts of the parable. My friends, it's possible for a child of God to stray, isn't it? That's what the parable teaches us. Here was a young man at home in fellowship with his father, loved by his father, even loved by his father when he left. And yet he still departs. Could it be that you're one of the prodigal? Maybe it's you who have turned your back on your father's house. You've gone out and tried to live life any way you want to live it. Folks, the only place where blessings are found is back at home. If you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you, we pray that you'll do that. Maybe you're not even a part of the Father's house, and you can be, can't you? If you believe in the Christ, will repent of sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be immersed into Christ, you'll become a Christian, a child of God, born into the family of God. You need to do that tonight. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?